Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad. We're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Who'd have thought it? Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Don't throw me with an extra line in there about who'd have thought it. It's very early in the morning for me. It's very late in the evening for you. I can't believe that. I mean, I was expecting just your normal boilerplate, classy, classic introduction for the Abroad Japan podcast, and you're throwing me curveballs first thing in the morning. What are you playing at, Chris? Who's got to you?
Not just that, but I've changed the angle, if you're watching on YouTube, of the camera, so it's extra disconcerting.
We're now in the toilet. we're now in the studio toilet. It's very, very reverberant.
Fun fact. This studio has two toilets. It's got male and female toilets there. So two toilets.
You need a modernised sunshine. We need a third option. No accessible toilet, just cousin boys.
Because I'm like the only one in the studio most of the time, I can go between both. Can choose whatever toilet I want.
You could start a toilet in one, nip it in the bud, so to speak, and just sort of waddle over to the other toilet and finish it in the second one.
That's the man lives like an emperor. Pete Donaldson dream.
It certainly is.
Pete Donaldson dream. My God, Pete. But I've just got back from a ski trip to Niseko, which is in Hokkaido.
Wow.
Lovely stuff. Honestly, such a beautiful resort. Very snowy. They say it's got the best, most superb powdery snow in the world. And it was good. It was very good. You've never been, right?
Never been skiing. As discussed on this show, I had one skiing lesson planned, but I had my grade one violin exam, which I ended up failing anyway. So what are you going to do?
Oh, no. Skiing, I only go like once every 2 years, and then it takes me a few days to remember how to ski. And I went for like 2 or 3 days this time. It was nice, but my legs were destroyed by the end of it. I could barely stand up, and I spent the last like 3 days just in a room recovering, playing Ghost of Tsushima. Because I'm a gamer now. I play video games now, like everyone else. I'm cool.
I noticed that I've had such a busy week. Everybody on the little Abroad Japan production WhatsApp group seems to be playing Ghost of Tsushima. And I just feel incredibly left out. The only time I have to play little video games is I've got like a little pocket it's like a crappy little Chinese Game Boy that I've got a few games on and stuff. So I've been bashing through Final Fantasy on the PlayStation 1. Incredible. Yeah.
It's not Ghost of Tsushima, though, is it?
Load of rubbish.
It's not Ghost of Tsushima. Samurai Warlords. It's so good. It's such a fucking good game, honestly. It's taken me like 5 years to find a video game that I actually cared about. Like, I kind of need a good narrative to sink my teeth into, and I don't really like open world stuff anymore, but this is kind of like the best of both worlds. Like, it's a nice balance, and it's also like made me appreciate like Japan a bit more. It sounds weird, but like the scenery and like, what the fuck is that? Can you hear that?
Is that your fan? Have you started a large fan? Are you reproducing the 90s TV show The Crystal Maze?
I think someone's assembling something somewhere in a room. This is the best microphone in the world. It should be able to pick up like nothing. Can you hear the drill?
I can't hear the drill. I thought I could hear that you'd put the aircon on, which sometimes makes a bit of a noise, but the aircon's off. No, I can't hear anything now. So any noise that could have gone through, the listeners shouldn't be able to hear, but you should tell that naughty man to stop drilling.
Trash taste after deal with this crap. Anyway, let's dive in then before somebody starts disassembling the building. We've got a story this week from Jürgen, who says...
It's not your toilet, is it, Chris?
It's not the toilet. Oh, this is so annoying. Is this going to be a problem?
You really can't hear it. You really can't hear it.
All right. Well, we've got a story from Jürgen. He says, hello, castigated Chris and Persinimus Pete. I'm a law enforcing officer working in Belgium. And ever since I can remember, I was fond of Japan and its culture. When I was 22, I visited Japan for the second time and happened to come across a phone while making the streets, walking the streets of Akihabara. Sorry. Making the streets. He came with a hammer and nails.
Sounds
and
like
he made the streets.
Making the streets upstairs, Chris.
That's definitely on my mind. With no frantic owner in sight of this phone, I sought out the nearest Korban police box where I figured I could make a deposit. As I entered the small station, the lady at the front desk looked at me like Godzilla himself had entered the building. I can't blame her, as I'm 6'4" and I weigh over 220 pounds, 110 kilograms. My God. I wanted to simply hand over the phone, but alas, they insisted I should go into a small side room and fill out numerous forms. I had to write down what my trip was at, what my trip itinerary was and where I'd be staying. After almost is so much effort. This is what happens when you give back to society. You have to fill out a form. After almost an hour, I was finally permitted to leave, and I was questioning whether the whole rigmarole had been worth it. After 2 weeks, thinking I'd become Japan's most wanted, I arrived at my final destination. The lady at the reception asked me if my name was Jürgen, and I hesitated before saying, yes, I'm Jürgen. She smiled and handed over a parcel to me. Totally bemused, I said thank you and backed away from the desk to open my parcel. To my complete surprise, there were all sorts of Japanese treats and candy inside. At the bottom, there was a thank you note, and it became apparent the parcel was from the owner of the cell phone that I'd found weeks earlier. I couldn't believe that somebody had taken the time to say thank you like this, and that there was obviously a very good procedure for not only reuniting lost items with owners, but forwarding gifts to the person who had handed the items in. So wait a minute, where was Jürgen staying? Was he like staying at an Airbnb or something? Doesn't really elaborate on that, like how they found him, unless they... Oh, right.
It was part of the itinerary.
The itinerary. That's pretty smart. Mm,
the itinerary.
ingenious. Have you ever experienced anything like this? And have you heard of foreigners joining the Japanese police force? I was wondering if there's any job opportunities in the sector for someone like me. Love the videos and podcasts. Thanks, guys. Jürgen. What a great guy. Give him back and get in a bag of sweets for his trouble. Isn't that lovely?
I would be having to fill in a form to give something back. I would be filling in some junk data at that point. And I never would be... In pretty much every hotel in Japan, you have to fill in a form saying, like, where you've been, what your address is and stuff. And I, every time, would fill in Peter Donaldson from Farts Avenue, Fart Town, London. Every single time, and nobody caught me. So I would never have been reunited, or rather united, with a box of candy, a snack box, a munchie box, because I will have filled in. Whoever lives at Fart Avenue would have got it, unfortunately.
Probably a real location. It's a real location somewhere.
I would love to live in Fart Avenue. I mean, the people would move in, the house prices would be next to nothing because no one would want to live in Fart Avenue. Oh, it would be great, Chris. It really would. People would be stealing your road signs. You'd never get any packages. Oh, brilliant.
To be fair, I've heard of worse named places in the UK. I don't think I've ever lost anything myself. I'm quite good at not forgetting things. Or if I do forget them, I just leave it behind. I always leave a man behind. My friend Ellen, though, when she was in Kyoto, she left her phone at a coffee shop. When she went back 30 minutes later, not only had they kept the phone, but they wrapped it in a ribbon, sort of gift, like, as if they're gifting it back to her. Like, here, have this, your phone, with a little ribbon on. Oh. So it pays. It pays to leave your phone behind. You get a little ribbon.
That's amazing. Like, what was the thought process behind that? Like, a present, it's your phone, back again. Did they clean it? Did they restore the battery to full power?
It's almost like rewarding bad behaviour, isn't it? Oh, I forgot my phone. Trouble the staff. But they've given you a ribbon.
I want a fancy day. I'm feeling a little bit down about things. I want a fancy day. I'm going to leave my phone in, a cafe or something.
Just crash your car into a bridge and see where gift wrapped your car or something worse. So,
yeah, if your car's broken, just smash it into a wall and go and then maybe someone will tidy it up. Bang a bit of air freshener in it.
My God. Well, One thing that you notice when going into shops in Japan sometimes is there's a big sheet on the wall with lots of very grumpy, angry, scary-looking men on it. They're always men. And
always men.
Japan's most wanted. It's really kind of... They always look really not nice. They always find the worst photos of these people. Probably because they've done awful things.
They're not great people. I don't think they're... You never see a model on the run, do you? I would say that, like, these photographs are... You don't even see this sort of thing in America. You see, like, it's basically the 1970s every day in Japan. And these pictures of wanted criminals are pretty... You can't go, like, 5 minutes without seeing one, can you, Chris?
It's kind of like Red Dead Redemption. It's like a Wild West scenario, like most wanted, reward. But they are everywhere, and they are lots of scary figures on them. And there's always a few characters you always see on every one. Like, I've been here, you know, 12 years, and there's been, like, a guy on there, several guys who you see every single time. They've been on the run for 50 years. And this week, one of them, who's quite famous, everyone that's seen one of these most wanted posters has seen this guy. One of the guys was caught after 50 years on the run. Pete, tell us how they caught this guy, how it went down.
Well, for 50 years, as you say, Chris, Satoshi Kirishima was one of Japan's most wanted criminals. A black and white mugshot of him smiling in his youth has been plastered across billboards all over Japan for decades. Now, the photograph itself is quite interesting because I wouldn't say he's necessarily smiling, but he definitely looks like he's having a lovely time. And he's got beautiful sort of horn-rimmed sort of 1970s glasses. He's got beautiful, rich hair. And to be honest, he looks like $1 million, to be quite frank. But the public...
Rating criminals with Pete Donaldson.
The sexy crims. A black and white mugshot of Satoshi Kirishima has obviously been plastered around Japan for decades. The public was constantly warned that he was part of an extreme organisation that terrorised Tokyo in the 1970s, and everyone was urged to come forward with any information that might lead to his arrest. But his mysterious disappearance fuelled speculation he'd fled the country or may have died. But in reality, Satoshi Kirishima, he was hiding in plain sight all along. Last week, a man being treated for terminal stomach cancer in a Kamakura hospital made a stunning claim. As he lay on his deathbed, he told authorities that, "I am Japan's most wanted man." He is allegedly a member of the East Asia Anti-Japan Armed Front, a radical left-wing terrorist group that sought to destroy capitalist Japanese society. They'll have a job. They've got a job on their hands because they bloody love capitalism. Two members of the group were sentenced to death, including its founder, Masashi Daidoji, who died on death row in 2017. Although not a key member
Daidoji
of the group,
died.
This fella... Die, Georgie died. Although not a key member of the group, this man who is in bed terribly sick was one of the only 10 members who was never caught. A DNA test has now confirmed that the man who died in the hospital was indeed Satoshi Kirishima. And, I mean, this is like a bloody film. He has held the record for being on Japan's most wanted list the longest, smiling in his horn-rimmed 70s glasses. And they finally located him, and it was basically down to him on his deathbed, final, you know, breath, as he draws his final breath, going, "Ha ha, I won, aren't I great?"
And the reason he did it is for his death certificate, because he wanted his actual name on there. Weirdly.
Nice. Well,
it's interesting,
right, okay,
like how he got away with it. He lived in Fujisawa, just outside of Tokyo, and worked for a construction company. And a lot of construction companies in Japan just pay cash in hand because a lot of workers don't have insurance. It's kind of like a lot of folks who can't get any other job will just turn up to a construction site, get some money, and go on and do some stuff. And I think that's how he pretty much got away with it. But you don't really hear these... terrorist groups within Japan since the 90s, since ALM did the sarin gas attacks, but he bombed a Mitsubishi Heavy Industries building in like 1974, killed 8 people and injured 380. Like, yeah, you don't really associate Japan with terrorist organisations per se, but it was a different time. It was a different time, but that's crazy. But where's the other 9 people, Pete? Where are the other 9 members that got away with it? Probably down the road.
I imagine we'll find out pretty soon. Maybe they'll hear
building
about
a sky
this.
Tree.
They'll want their, Yeah, I wonder how many like buildings in Japan have been built by criminals. I mean, it's a real stick in the eye for anyone who's had to deal with like a bank and all of the processes that you have to go through just to extract some money out of your own bank account. And this guy can just sort of waddle away from bombing a building and be on the most wanted list just by sort of just working cash in hand on a building site for 30 years. It's incredible. Mm.
Like we've talked about this before, like Jorhatsu, Japan's vanishing kind of people, and like 100,000 people disappear every single year, and a lot of them like disappear in the night. There's some really good videos on YouTube about it, and I actually know somebody whose relative did this, just basically disappeared in the night to like outrun some debt and some money owed.
Yeah,
like they have these companies that come in, help you move in the dead of night, like midnight, whatever, and by the morning you're gone, kind of thing. And it's quite, it's a fascinating industry. And then they all run away to Nagoya because Nagoya is just so big and it's all just one big confusing city. But they always seem to end up in Nagoya. Or in this case, Kamakura. But yeah, it's a side of Japan you don't really hear about that often, but it's fascinating. It is. But it's a shame they couldn't catch him. It's a shame that he did get away with it and he got to have the final word, really. But he did die, so it's not good, is it?
I mean, it's hard to sort of weigh up a sort of moral kind of judgment there. Well, he did die. I mean, we all die, Chris. We all die, very much so.
But, we do.
I'm not weighing in, no matter what I say in the comments on YouTube. They'll be like, Pete is a Chinese communist sympathiser. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's because he wants the NHS to work. Oh, God.
But there you go. It's fascinating stuff. I wonder if there's like, any private investigative like agencies or companies that go on the hunt.
This is a film. Come on, this is a film. This is going to be out. This is going to be out on celluloid in about like 6 months' time. They're going to rush this out. It's going to be absolutely cracking. What a story! It's like something out of
also going to be called
an old like an old kind of mafia movie or something like that.
What's it going to be called? Amazing. What would you title this film? This is your expertise.
The Bomber Hydera. The Bomber Hydera from Kamakura.
Perfect. And on that note, my God. But there you go. Sometimes the people on those scary posters do get caught, but usually if they hand themselves in, honestly.
Do they get caught? It sounds like it doesn't.
It's unfortunate. We're back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
We've got a message from Axel. Have we heard from an Axel before? Axel Witzel? I think we might have. Hey, Chris and Pete. I've been following the Abroad in Japan channel for a while now. My favourite video was when you and Pete went to Osaka during your journey across Japan a few years back. I'm an aspiring jet alt who just recently finished their interview. My question to Chris is, what was the one thing you discovered during your time as an alt that you did not discover before getting the position? Love the podcast. Keep the great work. The both of you. Best, Axel. I mean, this is very much the season for alts getting interviewed, getting callbacks, getting their kind of positions sort of firmed up. It's an exciting time for a lot of people.
I think it was 12 years exactly, more or less, when I had my interview in February in London. And then I found that in April that I got it. Oh, so it was kind of a 2-month wait. And I... What did I not consider before getting the position? I don't know, really.
They were in the town.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the time, don't forget, there was nothing. There's fuck all. No. On, like, rural Japan. You learned there was nothing. Wikipedia had like a sentence. YouTube had like somebody getting a sandwich out of a convenience store fridge. It was shit. Like, and now you can look up anywhere, anything, and get like a 4K sloppy video made on it. And watch it on YouTube. So,
oh, don't be so hard on your own content, really. Chris.
And mine is the worst of all. But yeah,
the sloppiest of all.
I kind of like coming into the unknown at the time. I liked arriving and sort of not knowing what was going to happen. It was terrifying. It was fucking scary as hell. But it was kind of exciting. Whereas now, you know what you're going to get because so many YouTubers have done it and filmed it. But I didn't know what my apartment was going to be like, I think, until like a week before I turned up. And the prick before me sold all his stuff to me at a really inflated rate. Didn't really give me much choice, which I'll never forget.
No. Because I imagine that's quite... What did you actually buy then?
Well, I bought a mirror that had some weird felt on it. Like, the person before me, now it's 12 years, I can talk about it. He was an absolute bellend who'd caused a lot of problems for the school. And I would love to have written about it in the book, but... Didn't want to get into legal territory, but he did some really bad shit and everybody at the school hated him. And then he sold me all the stuff in my apartment at a really inflated rate. And he just caused a lot of problems. And when I left, I don't know if I sold anything. I think I just gave it.
You had a big fire. you just went out into the yard and set fire to the ottoman that you'd bought. Why did that guy have an ottoman?
Just burnt
it.
But that was what was so interesting, going back to the apartment last month and seeing it all being there still. Like the tables, the mirror, the TV, it's all still there.
Blue plaque. Is there a blue plaque? Chris Broad lives here.
It's not. I wish. Like the UK when someone famous lives in a house. Yeah, it was surreal. And I paid an extortionate amount for the stuff in that apartment. And he basically said, you can pay for all the stuff in the apartment, or I'll just chuck it all. It would have cost him money to fucking chuck it all. It would have cost him money anyway, so I don't know. It was a bit of a prick.
I've never heard you so animated about the faithful.
I think...
You've gone through some difficult experiences over your time in Japan, and this seems... The fire still burns inside that extra 10 quid that you spent on a chair.
Well, it's not just that, though. I kind of owe him, because when I got into the teaching job... And again, I would have loved to have done a chapter on this. Probably should have. When I arrived, everyone was so nice to me. They treated me like royalty, because they were terrified that I would end up like the guy before me and cause problems for everyone. Like one time, there was two teachers that worked in my school. There was me and Roy. It's not his real name. It's his middle name.
Roy. Did Roy come of all the names? Roy.
That's his middle name.
Roy the boy.
Yeah. He was like, he told me like stories about this guy. Like one time he went to the guy's desk and my desk was next to Roy's, whatever. Roy came back and... to see this guy, and like he just left a note saying, oh, I've gone to Hong Kong for a week, bye. And like just randomly disappeared to Hong Kong for like a holiday. Okay. He didn't take a holiday leave, and he threw lots of people under a bus for it. And there was just like loads of stories like that. and it was causing loads of stress for the teachers. So when I turned up, everyone was really scared because they kind of felt responsible. They felt like, oh, maybe it was our fault for neglecting this guy that turned him into this reckless
turned into a Hong Kong wrong'un.
Well, it wasn't. It was just, this guy's a bit of a dick, but yeah. There's lots of stories I kind of didn't put in the book and lots of stories I haven't talked about publicly because...
There is you know. Chris, there is something to be said for just doing what you want to do.
I would say,
people will see it as being sociopathic, but then a lot of people just get on by sort of going, I've gone to Hong Kong. When you're coming back, have you booked a holiday? No, I'm going to Hong Kong. And if you just absolutely just willfully just bewilderingly kind of like steadfast in your vision that you're going to go to Hong Kong, like people sort of have to deal with it. Like you worry. I'm a worrier, and I'd worry about, you know, annual leave. Have I left people in a hall? I really want to go to Hong Kong, etc. my heart is in Hong Kong. But like people who just get on in life just sort of go, yeah, I'm in Hong Kong. I'll be back in a bit.
Just go to Hong Kong. Can you imagine doing it in the workplace though to your colleagues? Like, it's Monday morning, everyone comes in, you've got a busy fucking week, team effort, let's all go, everyone. And it's just, where's Pete? Oh, he's gone to Hong Kong to eat some dumplings
Victoria Peak. I'm getting fitted for a cool suit in Hong Kong.
That would be kind of fun. But that was like the least bad thing that he did. Right. Like, the worst thing, he got reprimanded for sending the school nurse like sexy messages like, oh, you look good in this jacket and you look good in this top. Right, and she was like, what the fuck is this?
Taking a turn. less good. Less good.
Yeah, less good.
Maybe you should stay in Hong Kong.
It was a litany of shit. And then overcharging me was the icing on the cake, to be fair.
That was the real crime. Yeah.
Oh, dear. I think he also punched someone in the face. But anyway... Fun times.
He sounds like an absolute live wire. Good God. In the worst possible sense.
But Lordy. We got a story from Jenny. Or a question. It says, hello, Chris and Pete. Jenny. I booked my first trip to Japan this October to enjoy the fall leaves. And I couldn't be more excited. My bucket list includes staying at a ryokan in the mountains with a private bath due to having a large tattoo. I'll be travelling solo. And I've seen discussions online about only certain ryokans allowing single stays in rooms. Is this something I need to check? Will I be charged double occupancy or will they refuse to check me in? Any advice is appreciated as the inns are already starting to fill up. I want to secure my spot. All the best, Jenny. I think, don't worry about it. I've had this issue before, like on booking.com. It's like minimum two people. And I just book it anyway. And I've never had an issue. I do think there is a culture there of like often you need like two people per room, which I think is silly. And it did cause, I was worried about that on Journey Across Japan, the last series, because we had a team of like an odd number and some of us had to have like our own room and with one person in it, whatever. But I think I didn't care. I think I just went ahead with it. But I think it'll be all right. They're not going to throw you out, are they?
What are they? Yeah, probably. I mean, presumably you're just renting the space. Surely the ideal situation for a hotelier or a ryokaner would be to have a single occupant because you get the same amount of money and you have to do half the work, no?
Slacking off again. I think it's more the breakfast-dinner side of things. Your dinner, you have a set meal with a minimum of two people or something like that. So that's the only thing I'd say. If you book a room and it says two people and you've got like breakfast and dinner included, definitely let them know in advance that there's only one of you. Otherwise, they will kill you because they don't like wasting food. and that would, you know... I did a shoot recently in Akita. It was myself, Sharla, and Paul the cameraman. And Sharla didn't want to go to breakfast because she had to do makeup and stuff. And she didn't really want breakfast anyway. But you have to, like, have the breakfast. You have to. And I had to eat her entire breakfast, even though I didn't really like it, because I didn't want to waste it. And I didn't want to, like, cause a fracas. Do you remember when Jeremy Clarkson punched his producer in the face? And it was like, there's been a fracas.
There's been a fracas.
It was like that. I had to eat the breakfast.
Where's Jeremy? He's in Hong Kong.
But yeah, just don't worry about it, Jenny. Book away. but do let them know in advance if there's meals involved. I got one last question from Lisa, who says, "Hello, definitely not doctors Pete and Chris. My family and I are heading to Japan this July after our last trip last year got cancelled at the last minute for insurance reasons. Oh, I'm so excited to visit Japan again after an amazing trip. My question is for you is, how much are masks currently worn in Japan? Many thanks, Lisa. Ain't no masks really happening now." I think I was on a flight the other day and I think like 5% of the flight, tossing that figure out there, 5% of the flight probably had a mask on. It's essentially no one. But people like to wear them in Japan in winter because it keeps your face warm. So, yeah, but they've gone. And I'm all the happier for
it. Out of there.
Honestly, it was a nightmare trying to film with a mask on. So I'm happy about that. But if you really want to wear one, do wear one. Of course, Japan, one of the few countries in the world where no one cares if you do. And no one will berate you for wearing one, which is good, I think, if you are
cool.
Sick. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com or comment down below on the YouTube. We'll see you later in the week, guys. Talk over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Hello. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.